welcome to the Healthy Lifestyle Show with Dr. Diane Lanier. It's Wednesday, February 18th, and I'm your host, Dr. Lanier. We air the show every Wednesday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, and you can listen in live or you can listen to the show at your earliest convenience, as all of the shows are archived. For more information on me and the services I offer, you can go to my website, which is www.drdialanier.com, and spelled out, it's www.drdialanier.com. Now, we're continuing on our CAM series, which is Complementary and Alternative Medicine, and discussing the different therapies that can help you along your journey towards health and wellness. Now, last week we discussed Qigong and Tai Chi and described the benefits of practicing each. And today we're going to be talking about acupuncture. So what is it, what's involved in it, and in what ways can it help you in terms of health and wellness? Well, acupuncture is an element of traditional Chinese medicine, and it alleviates pain and can increase the immune response. And actually, in Western conventional medicine, it's used as a standalone treatment for a wide range of diseases. And those can include the common cold and the flu, as well as addiction and chronic fatigue syndrome. It's also been proven to be effective as an adjunct treatment or an accompanying treatment for AIDS. Acupuncture originated in China over 5,000 years ago, and it's based on the belief that health is determined by a balanced flow of qi, which is a vital life energy that's present in all living organisms according to traditional Chinese medicine. Now, according to acupuncture theory, qi circulates in the body along 12 major energy pathways called meridians, and each is linked to a specific internal organ and organ systems. According to Dr. William Cargile, the past chairman of research for the American Association of Oriental Medicine, there are over 1,000 acupoints within the meridian system that can be stimulated. And when you place special needles, when you insert them into these acupoints, which are just under the skin, it's believed that they help correct and rebalance the flow of energy and consequently relieves pain and restores health. Now, how does acupuncture work? In the 1960s, Professor Kim Bong-han and a team of researchers in Korea attempted to document the existence of the meridians in the human body, and they used micro-dissection techniques in order to do that. They actually found evidence that there exists an independent series of fine or very small duct-like tubes that corresponded to the paths of traditional acupuncture meridians, and the fluids in this system travel sometimes in the direction, the same direction as blood and lymph, but then other times it travels in the opposite direction. So they realized that these ducts were different from the vascular or the blood system and from the lymphatic systems that Western science had previously identified. And they thought, well, maybe the meridians themselves might exist within these ducts. In 1997, acupuncture's credibility as a viable medical treatment was bolstered by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration, or the FDA, when they reclassified the acupuncture needle from experimental to medical device status. So that really acknowledged the acupuncture needle as a safe and effective medical instrument. Another thing that happened in 1997 is the National Institutes of Health, or the NIH, released an efficacy statement which endorsed acupuncture for a variety of different conditions. And that included things like post-operative pain, dental pain following the surgery, nausea associated with chemotherapy, morning sickness, also things like tennis elbow and carpal tunnel syndrome. There's been some emphasis, or looking into, I should say, of the electrical properties of acupuncture. Our bodies do carry a current, and so in 1970s, under a grant from the NIH, Dr. Robert Becker and a biophysicist, Maria Reichmanis, were able to prove that electrical currents did indeed flow along the ancient Chinese meridians, and about 25% of the acupuncture points existed along those scientifically measurable lines. Now, they reasoned that the points act as amplifiers to boost the tiny electrical signals that travel along the body, and that when you insert a needle into those points, it could interfere with that electrical flow and then block the stimulus of pain in situations. So what kind of conditions can be helped by acupuncture? The World Health Organization has cited over 40 different conditions that acupuncture can treat, and some of those include migraines, sinusitis, the common cold, tonsillitis, asthma and inflammation of the eyes, and different addictions, which I'll talk a little bit about a little later, myopia, duodenal ulcers, and other gastrointestinal or GI disorders. There are also some neurologic things that can be helped, like trigeminal neuralgia, which causes severe facial pain, Meniere's disease, which causes ringing in the ears, and that's coupled with dizziness, tennis elbow, paralysis from stroke, speech aphasia, which is a loss of language abilities due to brain damage, sciatica, which if you've ever had it, you know what it is, but it's a shooting pain usually that originates in the hip or buttocks area. It shoots down to the leg, or sometimes it can stop at the knee, but that has found to have been helped by acupuncture, as well as osteoarthritis, or the most common form of arthritis. Now, according to Dr. Ni, who's the president of Yosan University of Traditional Chinese Medicine in Marina Del Rey, California, there are other conditions that acupuncture can be effective in treating, either alone or if you use it in conjunction with a contemporary conventional medicine treatment. And those included things like stroke rehabilitation, headaches, addiction, which comes up again, menstrual cramps, fibromyalgia, low back pain, as well as asthma. Now, I mentioned addiction, but I'm going to focus a little bit on pain since it's believed that acupuncture can alleviate pain. The reason why acupuncture has proven to be successful treatment is because it appears to stimulate the release of endorphins and enkephalins, which are the body's natural pain-killing chemicals, so the feel-good chemicals. And so there's actually evidence that acupuncture influences the production and the distribution of a great many neurotransmitters. Now, what are neurotransmitters? They're basically substances that transmit nerve impulses to the brain. So those neurotransmitters and neuromodulators are influenced by acupuncture, and that is what actually alters the perception of pain for people and how they can be helped relief of their pain through acupuncture. Now, it also, in addition to relieving the pain, it can reduce the need for conventional pain-killing drugs. And so, as we know, all medications do have side effects, and so if you're able to reduce that's always a good thing. They actually looked at a study where there were almost 200 patients with chronic neck pain that received a 30-minute treatment 5 times a week for 3 weeks of acupuncture. And those treated with acupuncture had greater reduction in their pain than those treated massage. The point of the study was to compare massage versus acupuncture in relieving chronic pain. They found that acupuncture was the most effective in people who suffer with the neck pain for over 5 years, and with those that had something called myofascial pain syndrome, which is muscle pain due to physical or mental tension. Also, there was another study of over 20,000 patients at the University of California in Los Angeles, and they found that acupuncture reduced the frequency and severity of muscle tension, headaches, as well as migraines. So that's actually something to think about. A lot of us are, especially with everything going on now, dealing with a lot of tension, and so there are other methods other than pain medicine or anti-inflammatories that can help relieve tension, pain, especially headaches that are associated with that. Another thing that the NIH looked at with respect to acupuncture was its ability to trigger the release of the endogenous painkillers. So they based it on clinical evidence, and it showed that opioids were released during the acupuncture treatment, and that the analgesic or the pain-killing effects of acupuncture are at least partially explained by the actions of those opiates. So that's a good way to get our own bodies to help deal with our pain and to help heal ourselves. Now, Dr. Holder, and I'm going to actually, because addiction was mentioned twice, I'm going to talk a little bit about acupuncture's use in treating addiction. Now, Dr. Holder, who was the founder and director of Exodus, which is a residential treatment hospital for addicts in Miami, Florida, has had success in research and treatment of addictions related to work, sex, gambling, food disorders, as well as substance abuse. And he developed a form of auriculotherapy, which is ear acupuncture for addiction treatment. And so using auriculotherapy or ear acupuncture, Dr. Holder reported success rates of over 80% for things like nicotine, alcohol, cocaine, heroin, and other mood-altering substances among addicts. And for his work, Dr. Holder was actually the first American to be awarded the Albert Schweitzer Prize in Medicine. So I thought that was pretty interesting that there are certain trigger points, or every drug of choice, he mentioned, has a receptor site that's very specific to a spot on the ear. So I thought that was pretty interesting. Today, speaking more about addiction, there are well over 300 acupuncture-based substance abuse programs in the United States, and they've had quite a bit of success. And some of the benefits I'll mention, too, are that there are found to be increased compliance with the treatment program, as well as reduced drug use overall while they're in and once they come out of the program. Another area that acupuncture can be helpful in is things like mental disorders. Now, at the Heart of Texas Region Mental Health Mental Retardation Center, which is in Waco, Texas, it's a residential care home, and they actually looked at some of the patients there and who received auriculotherapy or that ear acupuncture for a variety of conditions, and some of those were things like paranoid schizophrenia and borderline personality disorders. And what they found, and it was a very small study, mind you, only a few patients who were residents at that time, but they found that hospitalization stays dropped from 27 days to 8 days following the initiation of acupuncture compared to their records for the previous year. Some of the other responses that they noted from the acupuncture were less agitation and calmer behavior, improved clarity of thought, reduced aggression, and improved social interaction. Keeping in terms of mental disorders, Alzheimer's disease is one of the most common causes of mental decline and dementia among elderly in the U.S. And Dr. Nee, another physician specializing in acupuncture, noted that Alzheimer's patients could also be helped, that found that there was increase in the patient's verbal and motor skills, as well as improved mood and cognitive function in those who were treated with acupuncture. Acupuncture is also have proven to be beneficial for treatment of hyperactive children. And they did a controlled study, and nearly 50% of children with attention deficit and hyperactivity disorder, or ADHD, who underwent acupuncture treatment. And they all showed improvement of their symptoms. Well, I shouldn't say all, 50% of them showed improvement of their symptoms. And it was enough that they concluded from that study that acupuncture was a useful alternative to conventional medicine for some hyperactive children. I think it's important to note that there are still children that need other treatment methods, not just medication, but also therapy. So that's important to keep in mind. Another thing is AIDS. Now, although acupuncture does not cure AIDS, it's often used in conjunction with Chinese herbs, to improve a patient's immune function. That's also something to definitely make sure you consult with your physician before getting involved in. But they found that patients that were treated with it, they were able to reduce the uncomfortable and dangerous symptoms that were associated with it. And some of those included things like night sweats, fatigue, and digestive disturbances. They actually did one study that used acupuncture to treat HIV patients who were experiencing sleep disturbances, and that's a common side effect of the condition. The study, once again, was a small study, and they looked at HIV-infected men and women who were aged 29 to 50, who experienced sleep disturbances for 3 or more times per week. And the acupuncture was individualized, so it was according to each person, and it was set up to address their insomnia as well as other symptoms reported by the participants. And they found that sleep activity and sleep quality were significantly improved after 5 weeks of acupuncture treatment. So, you know, how good the sleep was and how much sleep they were able to get was found to be significantly improved. Okay, and one other thing that I'll talk about that can be helped, other than the ones that I mentioned previously, are the side effects related to conventional cancer treatments. Now, in conventional medicine, we treat cancer usually in three ways: with surgery, with chemotherapy, and with radiation. And when you use methods like that, sometimes you really can see debilitating side effects, and it can leave patients feeling weak and dispirited or even depressed in some cases. Now, some symptoms of this treatment can include nausea, loss of appetite, things like diarrhea, dizziness, and fatigue. You can see hair loss, muscle and joint pain, neuropathy, swelling, depression, weight loss, and anemia, and low white blood cell counts. And the white cells are those cells that help us fight infection. They did a study of patients with breast cancer receiving high-dose chemotherapy, and adjunct electroacupuncture was found to be more effective in controlling nausea and vomiting than conventional medicines that are typically used. What electroacupuncture is not only do they place the needles, but then they set it up to a little current. Now, it's nothing major like shock therapy, but there is something that it intensifies, not just going into the electrical current area or the meridian area, but you get a little bit more stimulation with the current. And so that was found to be very helpful in controlling nausea and vomiting related to chemotherapy and other treatments. I just want to remind you, in case you're just joining us, you're listening to the Healthy Lifestyle Show with Dr. Dia Lanier. Thanks so much for tuning in. We're talking about acupuncture. Now, I talked about different conditions that can be helped, but some people may be asking, well, what is it and what's done when you get acupuncture treatment? Well, first-time patients generally will fill out a questionnaire, and I should mention that there are two forms almost. You can have traditional acupuncture or you can have medical acupuncture that are typically that's typically done by a physician or a chiropractor. But in general, first-time patients will fill out a questionnaire regarding their medical history, and then they're interviewed by the acupuncturist who will examine or study the patient. They, you know, if it's traditional, they may look at the color of your face, the coating on your tongue, and other factors. And practitioners may even ask about your urine color, your menstrual cycle, your sensitivity to temperature and seasons, digestive problems, as well as eating and sleeping habits and emotional stress. Finally, the practitioner, and I do believe this is a little more in the traditional realm, but the practitioner will use your wrist to diagnose and test the 12 radial pulses that are commonly used in Chinese medical diagnoses. So after they figure out where the problem is, specific needles are placed in any of over 1,000 locations on the body. But usually in acupuncture, you're not using any more than 10 to 12 needles per treatment. In fact, the more skilled the acupuncturist, the fewer needles he or she will need. So essentially, acupuncture is painless. You might feel a slight pricking sensation when the needles are inserted, but a competent acupuncturist will usually not cause you any pain, and you might feel a slight tugging or aching sensation on insertion of the needle, but that usually passes pretty quickly. If you are have an acupuncture treatment, as a patient, it really is important for you to tell the acupuncturist if any acupoint is uncomfortable. It's one thing for the, you know, slight tugging, but as I mentioned, that should pass. So if it's uncomfortable, usually a slight change in the needle position or pressure can eliminate any discomfort. But if it's bothering you past that, you really need to let them know. Don't just kind of sit there, oh, I guess that's the way it's supposed to be. You have a needle in me. Definitely should not feel that way. So let them know, and they may need to remove that needle. Acupuncture needles are different lengths and gauges, which is the diameter or thickness of the needle, but generally they're hair thin, solid, and made of stainless steel. And in order to protect the acupuncturist and patient from communicable blood-borne diseases like AIDS and hepatitis, most acupuncturists use pre-sterilized disposable needles. I think that's very important for you to ask about if you're going for acupuncture treatment or you want to try it out. That should be one of the first questions you ask, which type of needles do you use? And I would recommend the pre-sterilized disposable variety. Some treatments only last for a few seconds, and others can last for 45 minutes or longer, but generally the needles are left in place for about 20 to 30 minutes. Now, if it's any practitioner will usually afterwards recommend changes in your diet or lifestyle or physical activity that may help the condition you came in with. If it's more traditional, they may recommend Chinese herbs. As I mentioned, acupuncture is a component of traditional Chinese medicine. And again, that is something that you should go and review with your primary healthcare provider to make sure it's okay for you to take those. Okay, so with respect to the future of acupuncture, it's definitely a really great modality to use, and it can play a vital role in adjunct therapy. I can remember a time when it was kind of out there to just get acupuncture, but now it's becoming a little more mainstream, and definitely I learned about it in medical school, and it's definitely being incorporated more because there are benefits that have been seen and proven as well. With all other forms of alternative health care, this is included, the legality of practicing acupuncture really is going to vary from state to state. So in some states, there is no licensing, and in others, they limit the practice to physicians such as medical doctors and chiropractors. In some states, such as Maryland, non-physician licensed acupuncturists are allowed to practice, provided their patients have been referred to them by a physician. In California and a few other states, acupuncturists are considered primary health care professionals and can see any patient without a physician's referral. So where acupuncture is legal, the acupuncturist must have graduated from an approved school and passed a state licensing examination. So if a couple of different organizations that can help you find a qualified acupuncturist would be the first is the American Association of Oriental Medicine. Now, it's also called the AAOM. It's a national professional trade organization of acupuncturists who meet acceptable standards of competency and can provide you with the names and locations of their local members. The website for that is www.aaom.org. Once again, that's www.aaom.org. The second group that can help you out is the American Academy of Medical Acupuncture, and the purpose of this group is to promote the integration of concepts from traditional and modern forms of acupuncture with conventional Western medicine in order to create a more comprehensive approach to healthcare. Membership in the American Academy of Medical Acupuncture is comprised mainly of MDs, or medical doctors, and DOs, doctors of osteopathic medicine. And they need to have at least 2 years of experience practicing medical acupuncture. Their website is www.medicalacupuncture.org. Once again, www.medicalacupuncture.org. I just want to remind you that the information presented on this program is for education and motivation purposes only. Please consult your personal physician or other healthcare professional before starting, changing, or discontinuing any treatments. Well, I hope that was helpful for you to see. I actually should tell you a quick story of my own. I have tried acupuncture. I've been to both. They're freestanding, and it's been more Western-oriented, but I have had medical acupuncture as well. And I think it's something that if you have the time and inclination and funds, you know, a lot of times if you get it medically and you have medical insurance and you're referred, that could be covered on your insurance. So I'm seeing a lot of medical acupuncture, whether it's by a physician or by a chiropractor, coming into existence and can help you with certain conditions that you may have as an adjunct. And I think it's worthwhile. I had a pain in my left shoulder that was just with me, and it could not quite be massaged away. I'm actually going to talk about chiropractic next week, but I found that to be helpful. And the acupuncture, you know, not so much. I think I would. I just did it once just to see what it was like, but I think the benefit comes more from, you know, repeated treatments with it. But at any rate, I always recommend to try things like that as long as there is no problem with you considering what you may have going on medically and what medications you might be taking. I hope you learned quite a bit about acupuncture today. Please be sure to tune in next week when we'll be continuing with our last topic in the complementary and alternative medicine series, talking about chiropractic and how that can be helpful for you and what is involved in chiropractic medicine. So I look forward to speaking with you next Wednesday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time. And until then, remember to be healthy and God bless. Have a good one.